from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It is Wisconsin Sports Daily. See Sparky Fiber with you, being joined now by my cohort from Curd and Long Podcast, which you can download on your Odyssey app or wherever you download your favorite podcast at. He is Ryan Horvath of BetMGM Tonight with Trisha Crick and Nick Ashu. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Horvath. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Good afternoon, Steve. It's the best day of the year.
It is.
I'm so excited. It's my Christmas NFL draft night. Super excited to see what the Green Bay Packers do. Super excited to see where J.J. McCarthy lands, Drake May lands. I'm so excited that I was heading into work early, but of course, because it's Washington, D.C., I've been stuck in traffic for like an hour and 15 minutes. I tried to beat the traffic because the Dodgers are in town, and there's like a, 50-car pileup or something like that. But I'm super excited for the draft. Hopefully I make it by 7 p.m. because after pick number one, I have no idea what happens.
Okay, so I want to get your thoughts on the Packers and the draft and all that. But before I do that, I want to just get your thoughts quickly. Bucks-Pacers coming up tomorrow night. Doc Rivers earlier today saying he doesn't know about Middleton. And yes, Giannis is doing more than he has, but he still hasn't done any live action at this point in a Bucks practice. With that information, what say you about tomorrow in Indianapolis Game 3?
Yeah, it's hard to feel good right now about the Bucks until we have a better idea about the injury report. You know, like even if Middleton was a full go, they need Giannis back in this series. I was wrong because like going into the series, I thought that just the way that Indiana played in the regular season against the Bucks, sure, they had a chance. But after game one, my opinion changed a little bit. Indiana looked like that classic regular season team. They get up and down the floor. They could score 130 on anybody, but they just don't play enough defense. And in the playoffs, it becomes a half-court game, we all know. So I thought the Bucks might be able to roll the way that Dame looked game one. But then you go back, you watch game one, and you realize once they started blitzing Dame in the second half, he didn't really do a whole lot. So I have some concerns about the Bucks. I don't really want to bet against Damian Lillard in the playoffs with this Indiana team who has no experience whatsoever in the playoffs. So I still lean Bucks, but I think this series is going to go seven. I think it's going to come down to a game seven, and I think the Bucks are ultimately going to need Giannis, even if he's like 50%, 60%. But at the same time, you know, do you risk him? Do you risk throwing him back on the court? I think of like the year that Derrick Rose got hurt, not the first year of the ACL tear, but the meniscus tear. I think of Kevin Durant in the finals when they tried to rush him back. That's what concerns me a little bit is, you know, you obviously want Giannis healthy by the start of next season. But you know what, man? Maybe you do rush him back because after what we saw from Boston in game two against Miami, I don't know that they're the lock that we thought for the finals either. So hopefully they just get Giannis back at least by game four.
they play Giannis at 50 or 60%, I want everybody fired. Every single person. I am not risking him with an Achilles injury or anything else running out there at 50 or 60%. He better not even be thought of playing at that percentage. I will lose my mind. It's not that big of a deal. You need him for next year and going forward. All right, let's move on to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I saw y'all talking about J.C. Latham last night to the Chargers. First, let me say that Jim Harbaugh is a beautiful mastermind. Because thanks to him hyping up J.J. McCarthy, he now sits with all the cards at his pick at 5, and he's going to reap the benefits of hyping McCarthy's draft stock in this whole thing, more than likely, where everybody, the Vikings, the Giants, the Raiders, are probably all going to be lined up to try and get 5 from him, and he's going to get a huge draft haul at the end of the day. If, let's say, the Chargers say, no, we're taking J.C. Latham, can you tell me the great last Alabama offensive tackle?
No, you can't.
No, you can't. Because there isn't any. I went online, because I was like, there's not a lineage at that position from Alabama. I went online. The highest offensive lineman recently that I could find is Barrett Jones. You remember how that went? I mean, there is nobody. Alex Leatherwood, you know, he's one of the more recent ones. There is no history of that position being a success in the NFL with Alabama offensive linemen. Oh, Chris Samuels. That's the last one. Chris Samuels is the last one who played in Washington. That'd be the last one.
Yeah, I mean, like, and to be honest, their offensive line play hasn't been very good the last couple of years. They've got a bunch of dudes that are 4-star, 5-star recruits, and they're huge. They look good when they get off the bus. But, yeah, the offensive lines actually struggle. I mean, a couple of years ago, Bryce was running for his life. You know, last year they really needed Milroe to use his legs a bunch. So I don't think that J.C. ends up going with the 5th overall pick. I thought the betting odds were pretty good. They went from, like, 9-1 down to plus 450 all the way down to plus 185 because Daniel Jeremiah had it mocked there. I honestly think that, like, the only way that the Chargers draft J.C. Latham is if they move back, to be honest with you, man. Like, if somebody really wants J.J. McCarthy. I won't be shocked if J.J. ends up going over Drake May. I would take Drake May number 2 over Jaden Daniels. I would. I worry a little bit, but in this Cliff Kingsbury offense, Jaden's probably the right fit. But, I mean, man, Drake May, I know that he's got some mechanic issues. I just think he has the highest ceiling. But I won't be shocked if New England ends up going with J.J. McCarthy at number 3, just because I worry about what they're doing in New England right now. They haven't really got it right since Tom Brady at that position. It's kind of been a disaster. And also, you know, with the Kraft family being so involved in this draft, who do they love? Who do they trust? Tom Brady. Tom Brady, Michigan man. Who's he been hyping up the last 3.5 weeks when they ask him about this draft? And all throughout the college football playoff, J.J. McCarthy. So I think it'll be interesting, man, if the Chargers do move out or if just the Patriots take J.J. number 3. I ultimately think he goes before pick 7, J.J. McCarthy. I don't think he gets to the New York Giants, to be honest with you. But if the Chargers do sit there at 5, I think it's Joe Alt or I think it's Malik Nabers. Well, I think that they're trading back. I don't think it's going to be J.C. I completely agree with you, man. Like, look at the grades on these guys. Look at the grade on Joe Wall. How do you pass on that? I don't think that you do. And to be honest with you, I like Mims more than I like J.C. I at least like his ceiling. You know, the thing about Mims, though, he only started 8 games. He's going to be a late bloomer, but I think his ceiling is much higher.
Yeah, I like Mims, too. He's an athletic freak, considering how big he is. I'm with you on that. All right, let's talk about the Packers at 5. Jeremiah, your guy on NFL Network, has him taking DeJean. Schrager on NFL Network, also highly connected around league circles, also has him taking DeJean. We've talked about DeJean on Curd and Long as well. I made the argument earlier on today that, fine, if that's how this is going to play, cool, as long as he's a safety. But if that happens, then I want them to go back up at the bottom of 1 and get Wiggins or McKinstry using 41 and either another 2nd or a 3rd and get a corner to go along with DeJean at safety. And then all of a sudden, it's Jair, whoever you draft at corner, and Valentine. And then it's DeJean and Xavier McKinney at safety. And just like that, you had a pretty young and athletic secondary.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to use two back-to-back picks on the secondary. I could be wrong. I honestly think, like, you know, if I could bet that Green Bay was going to trade back and they don't select anybody tonight, I'd probably – that's probably what I would bet. Now, maybe they move up for their guy. Also, like, if I'm betting right now and it's the favorite, I'm betting for them to take a tackle, for them to take an offensive lineman, even if it's just more depth. You know, I just think that that's probably the way that they go in the first round. But if they want their tackle in the first round, like, my cutoff is Mims or JC, you know what I mean? Like, if you got to move up to get one of those guys, you got to move up to get one of those guys. If not, wait and get your tackle in the second, maybe even third round. It's such a top-heavy tackle draft, offensive lineman draft, where if you don't get one of the top guys, I don't think there's a huge drop-off, you know what I mean, from, like, that second-tier, third-tier offensive lineman in this draft. Everybody's saying Cooper DeJean. I just don't see it being the case. I want it because he could play inside, he could play outside, and right, maybe his best position is safety, but I just like for Green Bay, especially, you know, with the new defense, a guy that's a chess piece like that. You know, like not comparing him to Kyle Hamilton, but Kyle Hamilton's he's a safety for the Baltimore Ravens, but he plays in the box the entire night watching his high school basketball highlights. He was one of the best high school basketball players in the area as well. He averaged like 26 points per game.
You really need help. You really need help.
If they go with him, man, I'm excited. If they go with Kool-Aid McKinstry, I'm excited. I'm a little bit worried, you know, just like with the red flags with the injury stuff. If they go with Terrion Arnold, I'm excited. If they go with Wiggins, I'm excited. But I ultimately think that they probably go offensive line. Don't you? Like, I mean, I know that everybody's... You really think they're going to go with a DB in the first round? I just don't see Goot doing it.
I do, because they've done it in the past. Why wouldn't he do it again? The tendency for this...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The organization is draft linemen later. Bakhtiari wasn't a first-round pick. I mean, Bulaga was fine. Derek Sherrod was. That didn't work. I mean, the history says they normally go defense in the first round, and a lot of times it's cornerback. I mean, think of all the first-round corners that they've drafted over the course of time. Now, again, they all haven't worked out, whether it be safety or corner, but that tends to be more of the case.
Let me ask you a question that's not going to happen. How jacked would you be or how pissed would you be if they traded out of the first round and they traded their second-round pick, and they moved up and they got one of the three stud wide receivers? I'm not talking Marvin Harrison. That's not happening. But, like, if they moved up and they took, like, even if it was, like, Brian Thomas and they went wide receiver, would you be upset with that?
No.
Or would you be happy with that? Because everybody's talking tackle DB. I don't know, man. If they got one of those top guys, I'd probably be excited. Because as much as I love the wide receiver room, I have some concerns, obviously, about Christian Watson even playing 10 games ever. I like Dobbs, but he's not the biggest dude. He's more of your possession wide receiver. I would love either like a burner that we could trust to stay healthy with some size, or a guy that could play on the outside still. So I wouldn't hate them going wide receiver. And you make a good point. Right, like Jair, first-round pick.
Stokes.
You know, like Yeah, Stokes, first round pick.
But Savage.
That's the question mark, though, I guess, in this whole thing is Stokes, we never thought, I mean, he was never going to be healthy last season. All the doctors that talked about that injury, especially just because the way that you move laterally playing the position as a defensive back, they were like, Stokes isn't going to be Stokes until week 10. And then he had a bunch of setbacks, obviously. Are they relying on him to be a part of this team or no?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, then I think that they probably do go DB. I mean,
you can't rely on him. You can't. How could they answer that question yes, knowing he hasn't played in like 2 years? That can't be a yes. That could be, we hope so. That could be the answer from Goody. But he can't confidently say he's going to be healthy and be the same Stokes as he was his rookie year. There's been too much time that's passed. And back to your wide receiver thing that you brought up, Horvat, which is, listen, you have to determine as an organization, is your Davante Adams or is your Jordy Nelson a true number one wide receiver? Does that currently exist in that room? Or do you have a bunch of good wide receivers, but not a true elite number one? And if you don't have a true elite number one, and you think Odunze could be that, again, you've got to go to the top 10. If you think the kid, Brian Thomas Jr. could be that, now you're talking top 15 probably, then you move up and go get that. But I'm telling you, there's going to be outrage because it's going to be, you never did that for Rodgers, and now you're doing it for Love, and you already got all these dang wide receivers. What are we doing again? That will be the response if they do it.
You know what? And I'm the biggest Rodgers guy. That won't be my response. The only reason that it would kind of upset me would be, unless it's Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze, like I like Thomas, I like A.D. Mitchell and all these guys. Like, I think that they're solid prospects. I love Xavier Leggett. Like, if they get Xavier Leggett in the second or third round, I'm going to jump for joy. I think he's the next Deebo Samuel. But if you have, you know, a first-round pick in this draft and you need a wide receiver, this is what the Buffalo Bills should do, man. If the Buffalo Bills want a number one wide receiver, they're not getting a number one wide receiver, you know, after pick 20. They're just not. So if you want a number one wide receiver, you trade for Brandon Ayuk and you do it tonight. He's 26 years old. If I'm San Francisco, I don't know if this is a hot take, you would get killed on the cap because you just re-signed him. I would rather trade Deebo than Brandon Ayuk. And if you want a number one wide receiver, so like if you're Green Bay and you don't trust the wide receiver room, get a vet. You know what I mean? Like, rather than another rookie, I would go out and get Brandon Ayuk. We know what Brandon Ayuk could do. We've seen it firsthand every year in the playoffs, you know, the last couple of years. So I would rather do that if I really want a number one wide receiver. If I'm Buffalo, if I'm Green Bay, any of those teams. So that's the only thing with a receiver. I would rather go after a DB because, like, right now on the free agent market, the guys that are still available are all in their 30s. I'm good on that. And nobody with a good defensive back under 27 years old looking to move them right now. You know what I mean? So I would rather them go at that position.
And you look at Cincinnati. Go to Cincinnati for a second. What if T. Higgins is the guy? Right? So now Buffalo, let's say it's T. Higgins. So Cincinnati at their pick could take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, and then they could come back at Buffalo's pick, take one of the Texas wide receivers, and all of a sudden you got two stud wide receivers to put with Ja'Marr Chase, and you're right back in this thing.
Oh, hell yeah, man. And like, I thought Cincinnati ultimately was going to trade T. Higgins. I still think that they should trade T. Higgins. I mean, I know that you're going all in on a Super Bowl this year, but I worry more about, like, the defensive side of the ball in Cincinnati. You know, I mean, like, they have a really good defensive coordinator in Lou Anarumo. But now Trey Hendrickson's asking for a trade. That's really weird. They just re-upped him. Like, why is he already pissed off and want out? So, yeah, I would love – I mean, that's the other thing. I would just throw a couple picks over to Cincinnati, say, hey, we'll take T. Higgins. But then you got to pay him. So I just don't think that that's the Green Bay way of doing things.
No, I don't think Green Bay will do it, but it would make sense for Buffalo.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Buffalo should do that. You can't, again, like, Josh Allen, I love Josh Allen, but he's not Pat Mahomes. You know, Josh Allen can't win with MVS and Sky Moore and these guys. I mean, he couldn't win with Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis a couple years ago, Dalton Kincaid, in a top 10 defense when they were actually healthy. So I think that he needs a number one wide receiver, and I don't think that guy's there, you know, other than Rome Odunze, and that's probably the cutoff point. Like, I like these guys, Jalen Polk and Xavier Leggett, like I keep bringing up. and A.D. Mitchell and Troy Franklin. But they're all tweeners is what scares me. Like, even Troy Franklin, he's 6'3", yeah, but he's like a 185 soaking wet. And I worry, the other thing I worry about, Spark, that nobody talks about, the LSU guys, Troy Franklin, the Oregon guys, a lot of those guys are playing in these stacked offenses with a bunch of great wide receivers. And this is why I love Marvin Harrison so much. We've seen Marvin Harrison line up in the slot, line up outside, and teams play press coverage, and he could get off the line of scrimmage. He's strong. I worry about some of these, like, 6'3", 175-pound guys. You know, like, you know what I mean? The Christian Watsons, yeah. Where if you jam them at the line of scrimmage, I worry that they're going to be able to actually break off on their route. So that's why, I don't know, if you're picking in the 20s and you really need a wide receiver, I'd probably just rather trade for one of these pissed-off wide receivers right now. Because I think San Francisco does move Ayuk. I don't know if it's tonight, but I do think that they're probably going to have to trade him.
All right, Horvat, give me a couple of bets that you like going into the draft tonight.
Yeah, I got a bunch. So I bet like a couple of these, like the market's kind of gone. I bet Marvin Harrison to be the first non-quarterback drafted. I took J.J. McCarthy to be drafted by the Vikings. I got J.J. McCarthy under pick 5.5. I got Bo Nix to be drafted by Denver. Bills to draft a wide receiver. And then a couple that are still available. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry under pick 29.5. I don't think he goes past Detroit. Detroit loves him at pick 29 if he's still there. Or maybe they move up for him. I like Jaden Daniels still to be the second overall pick. I bet that a long time ago. And I'm going to take a shot with J.J. McCarthy to be the third overall pick to New England if they sit there. Just because of the Tom Brady angle, JJ's a winner. And I don't know, man, I love Drake May. For some reason, doesn't seem like anybody else right now loves Drake May. So that's a couple that I like. Green Bay, if I had to make a bet with them, I'd take them to draft an offensive lineman. I think that's where they go. I'm hoping that it's Cooper DeJean, but anytime I hope for something, it never happens. Last time that I hoped for something and we actually got it, it was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah, I wanted Hot Clinton Dix too. And that was okay, kind of, sort of, I guess. Ryan Horvath, thanks so much. BetMGM tonight. I'm guessing you guys will be on tonight and kind of going pick by pick and having fun with it all night on the BetQL Radio Network. Also can listen on your Odyssey app.
Absolutely. Yeah, check out the show. Probably be adding some bets as the night progresses too, as long as everything's still on the board.
Awesome. Very good. Ryan, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, man.
There he is, Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight, weeknights, right there on the BetQL Radio Network. And again, you also can check him out on your Odyssey app and follow him on Twitter at Ryan Horvath, also co-host of Curd and Long, talking Packers 3 days a week. We did a podcast, what was it? Yesterday, I guess. Was it yesterday? No, Tuesday. Tuesday we did the podcast. Tonight, Ryan and I will do another podcast after the first round is concluded. Him and I will do another Curd and Long podcast. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, go ahead, download the Curd and Long podcast on your Odyssey app or download your favorite podcast at give it a listen, because we'll be talking about whatever the Packers do. We'll be talking about the rest of the draft, and we'll be going over, you know, who we want to see the Packers taking then in rounds 2 and 3 heading into Friday night. And if you've never heard of Curd and Long, get it, like Third and Long. The organization is draft linemen later. Bakhtiari wasn't a first-round pick. I mean, Bulaga was fine. Derek Sherrod was. That didn't work. I mean, the history says they normally go defense in the first round, and a lot of times it's cornerback. I mean, think of all the first-round corners that they've drafted over the course of time. Now, again, they all haven't worked out, whether it be safety or corner, but that tends to be more of the case.
Let me ask you a question that's not going to happen. How jacked would you be, or how pissed would you be if they traded out of the first round and they traded their second round pick and they moved up and they got one of the three stud wide receivers? I'm not talking Marvin Harrison. That's not happening. But like, if they moved up and they took, like, even if it was like Brian Thomas and they went wide receiver, would you be upset with that?
No.
Or would you be happy with that? Because everybody's talking tackle DB. I don't know, man. If they got one of those top guys, I'd probably be excited. Because as much as I love the wide receiver room, I have some concerns, obviously, about Christian Watson even playing 10 games ever. I like Dobbs, but he's not the biggest dude. He's more of your possession wide receiver. I would love either like a burner that we could trust to stay healthy with some size, or a guy that could play on the outside still. So I wouldn't hate them going wide receiver. And you make a good point. Right, like Jair, first-round pick.
Stokes.
You know, like we... Yeah, Stokes, first-round pick.
But Savage.
That's the question mark, though, I guess, in this whole thing is, Stokes, we never thought, I mean, he was never going to be healthy last season. All the doctors that talked about that injury, especially just because the way that you move laterally playing the position as a defensive back, they were like, Stokes isn't going to be Stokes until week 10. And then he had a bunch of setbacks, obviously. Are they relying on him to be a part of this team or no?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, then I think that they probably do go DB. I mean,
you can't rely on him. You can't. I mean, well, how could they answer that question yes, knowing he hasn't played in like 2 years? That can't be a yes. That could be, we hope so. That could be the answer from Goody. But he can't confidently say he's going to be healthy and be the same Stokes as he was his rookie year. There's been too much time that's passed. And back to your wide receiver thing that you brought up, Horvat, which is, listen, you have to determine as an organization, is your Devontae Adams or is your Jordy Nelson a true number one wide receiver? Does that currently exist in that room? Or do you have a bunch of good wide receivers, but not a true elite number one? And if you don't have a true elite number one, and you think Odunze could be that, again, you're got to go to the top 10. If you think the kid, Brian Thomas Jr. could be that, now you're talking top 15 probably, then you move up and go get that. But I'm telling you, there's going to be outrage because it's going to be, you never did that for Rodgers, and now you're doing it for Love, and you already got all these dang wide receivers. What are we doing again? That will be the response if they do it.
You know what? And I'm the biggest Rodgers guy. That won't be my response. The only reason that it would kind of upset me would be, unless it's Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze, like I like Thomas, I like A.D. Mitchell and all these guys. Like, I think that they're solid prospects. I love Xavier Leggett. Like, if they get Xavier Leggett in the second or third round, I'm going to jump for joy. I think he's the next Deebo Samuel. But if you have, you know, a first-round pick in this draft and you need a wide receiver, this is what the Buffalo Bills should do, man. If the Buffalo Bills want a number one wide receiver, they're not getting a number one wide receiver, you know, after pick 20. They're just not. So if you want a number one wide receiver, you trade for Brandon Ayuk and you do it tonight. He's 26 years old. If I'm San Francisco, I don't know if this is a hot take, you would get killed on the cap because you just re-signed him. I would rather trade Deebo than Brandon Ayuk. And if you want a number one wide receiver, so like if you're Green Bay and you don't trust the wide receiver room, get a vet. You know what I mean? Like, rather than another rookie, I would go out and get Brandon Ayuk. We know what Brandon Ayuk could do. We've seen it firsthand every year in the playoffs, you know, the last couple of years. So I would rather do that if I really want a number one wide receiver. If I'm Buffalo, if I'm Green Bay, any of those teams. So that's the only thing with a receiver. I would rather go after a DB because, like, right now on the free agent market, the guys that are still available are all in their 30s. I'm good on that. And nobody with a good defensive back under 27 years old looking to move them right now. You know what I mean? So I would rather them go at that position.
And you look at Cincinnati. Go to Cincinnati for a second. What if T. Higgins is the guy? Right? So now Buffalo, let's say it's T. Higgins. So Cincinnati at third pick could take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, and then they could come back at Buffalo's pick, take one of the Texas wide receivers, and all of a sudden you got two stud wide receivers to put with Ja'Marr Chase, and you're right back in this thing.
Oh, hell yeah, man. And like, I thought Cincinnati ultimately was going to trade T. Higgins. I still think that they should trade T. Higgins. I mean, I know that you're going all in on a Super Bowl this year, but I worry more about, like, the defensive side of the ball in Cincinnati. You know, I mean, like, they have a really good defensive coordinator in Lou Anarumo. But now Trey Hendrickson's asking for a trade. That's really weird. They just re-upped him. Like, why is he already pissed off and want out? So, yeah, I would love – I mean, that's the other thing. I would just throw a couple picks over to Cincinnati, say, hey, we'll take T. Higgins. But then you got to pay him. So I just don't think that that's the Green Bay way of doing things.
No, I don't think Green Bay will do it, but it would make sense for Buffalo.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Buffalo should do that. You can't, again, like, Josh Allen, I love Josh Allen, but he's not Pat Mahomes. You know, Josh Allen can't win with MVS and Sky Moore and these guys. I mean, he couldn't win with Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis a couple years ago, Dalton Kincaid in a top 10 defense when they were actually healthy. So I think that he needs a number one wide receiver, and I don't think that guy's there, you know, other than Rome Odunze, and that's probably the cutoff point. Like, I like these guys, Jalen Polk and Xavier Leggett, like I keep bringing up, and A.D. Mitchell and Troy Franklin, but they're all tweeners is what scares me. Like, even Troy Franklin, he's 6'3", but he's like a 185 soaking wet. And I worry, the other thing I worry about, Spark, that nobody talks about, the LSU guys, Troy Franklin, the Oregon guys, a lot of those guys are playing in these stacked offenses with a bunch of great wide receivers. And this is why I love Marvin Harrison so much. We've seen Marvin Harrison line up in the slot, line up outside, and teams play press coverage, and he could get off the line of scrimmage. He's strong. I worry about some of these, like, 6'3", 175-pound guys. You know, like, you know what I mean? The Christian Watsons,
yeah.
Where if you jam them at the line of scrimmage, I worry that they're going to be able to actually break off on their route. So that's why, I don't know, if you're picking in the 20s and you really need a wide receiver, I'd probably just rather trade for one of these pissed-off wide receivers right now. Because I ultimately think San Francisco does move Ayuk. I don't know if it's tonight, but I do think that they're probably going to have to trade him.
All right, Horvat, give me a couple of bets that you like going into the draft tonight.
Yeah, I got a bunch. So I bet like a couple of these, like the market's kind of gone. I bet Marvin Harrison to be the first non-quarterback drafted. I took J.J. McCarthy to be drafted by the Vikings. I got J.J. McCarthy under pick 5.5. I got Bo Nix to be drafted by Denver. Bills to draft a wide receiver. And then a couple that are still available. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry under pick 29.5. I don't think he goes past Detroit. Detroit loves him at pick 29 if he's still there. Or maybe they move up for him. I like Jaden Daniels still to be the second overall pick. I bet that a long time ago. And I'm going to take a shot with J.J. McCarthy to be the third overall pick to New England if they sit there. Just because of Tom Brady angle, JJ's a winner. And I don't know, man, I love Drake May. For some reason, doesn't seem like anybody else right now loves Drake May. So that's a couple that I like. Green Bay, if I had to make a bet with them, I'd take them to draft an offensive lineman. I think that's where they go. I'm hoping that it's Cooper DeJean, but anytime I hope for something, it never happens. Last time that I hoped for something and we actually got it, it was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah, I wanted Ha-Ha Clinton Dix too. And that was okay, kind of, sort of, I guess. Ryan Horvath, thanks so much. BetMGM tonight. I'm guessing you guys will be on tonight and kind of going pick by pick and having fun with it all night on the BetQL Radio Network. Also can listen on your Odyssey app.
Absolutely. Yeah, check out the show. Probably be adding some bets as the night progresses, too, as long as everything's still on the board.
Awesome. Very good. Ryan, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, man.
There he is, Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight, weeknights, right there on the BetQL Radio Network. And again, you also can check him out on your Odyssey app and follow him on Twitter at Ryan Horvath, also co-host of Curd and Long, talking Packers 3 days a week. We did a podcast, what was it? Yesterday, I guess. Was it yesterday? No, Tuesday. Tuesday we did the podcast. Tonight, Ryan and I will do another podcast after the first round is concluded. Him and I will do another Curd and Long podcast. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, go ahead, download the Curd and Long podcast on your Odyssey app, or you download your favorite podcast at, give it a listen, because we'll be talking about whatever the Packers do. We'll be talking about the rest of the draft, and we'll be going over, you know, who we want to see the Packers take then in rounds 2 and 3 heading into Friday night. And if you've never heard of Curd and Long, get it, like third and long, but a cheese curd, Curd and Long. If you don't get it, then you're probably from Illinois. But it doesn't matter. Sorry, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry, Charlie. Chicago Charlie, I'm sorry. But because he's there, I'm gonna take shots. Sorry. But either way, this is my point. Is you tell everybody that you know. It's a fun podcast. Rod and I have a lot of fun.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!